This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Hayakum Allah ya mashaykh. And so, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this is a quick report back overview of our visit to Port Elizabeth and more especially our meeting with Maulana A.S. Desai of Majlis al-Ulama. Quite a few of you have messaged asking about details, etc. And so, we felt rather we record something will be easier, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So, alhamdulillah, we arrived early on the Thursday the 8th of December 2022. Why were we in Port Elizabeth? Because we were heading towards Plettenberg. We had this 6-day hike planned in the Tsitsikamma with imams of the Imam Development Program, some of their students, so opportunity for the imam and that student to bond, and some well wishes of the IDP. We were around 18 in total. But here, we landed in Port Elizabeth on the 8th and we had around the whole day to spare. So what to do? We said rather we visit the different masajid, the marakis, Islamic organizations, etc., etc. And so alhamdulillah, we started out early in the morning. Brother Naeem Chunara picked us up at the airport. We headed off to Masjid Al-Abrar, one of the old masajid there in Port Elizabeth. We went to Masjid Al-Aziz, I think it is. They call it the Green Mosque. Very old masjid. We went to Grace Street Masjid. Alhamdulillah, we were able to get the key. We went inside. Very old masjid. And I think the history with regards to this masjid, that they had run out of funds, and then during the Ottoman Empire time, they wrote to the Sultan and he covered the rest of it. Alhamdulillah. We also went around from Grace Street Masjid. There's another older masjid, I think it is. It's currently under renovation. So we visited that masjid. We visited the organization Al-Fida. We went to the office of Sanzaf. We visited the new studios of IFM, the Islamic radio station or Muslim radio station there in Port Elizabeth. We met with Dr. Adil Ajam there. Alhamdulillah. We went to visit Dr. Iman Nakomo at his place of work. Alhamdulillah. We went to Masjid At-Taqwa, newly renovated, mashallah, very, very, very beautiful, walhamdulillah. Sheikh Mukhtar had just left and he had gone somewhere, and so we called him up, walhamdulillah, he returned. He's the main imam there at the masjid. We did a tour of the whole new section of the masjid, walhamdulillah. And then they said, you know what, this evening after Maghrib, is it possible for us to also come back and maybe have a small talk? And we did, walhamdulillah, on the topic of the wish of Umar, radiallahu ta'ala an. So we had visited Masjid At-Taqwa, nice renovation, mashallah. We met up with Mawlana Riyad Abrahams, and then I think we went to his masjid, Masjid As-Salam, I think it is, in the... I think it's on Pine Street or Pine Road or Pine Avenue. We also visited the school, Nasiruddin School. And across from that school, there's Al-Azhar School, which is now under the Turks Nizamiya College. We also visited the Hiv School of Mawlana Abdurrahman Nakedin. And we met his brother at Rushdi Nakedin at Masjid At-Taqwa. We also went to where? We went to Malaba. And so we visited Masjid Al-Fuqara, and that's the masjid of Mawlana A.S. Desai of Majlis Al-Ulama. We went to Masjid Abu Bakr and the Darul Uloom, which unfortunately has closed down. Well, it's closed currently. So we visited that masjid there, and at Masjid Al-Fuqara, at Masjid Abu Bakr, you found a lot of the literature of Majlis al-Ulama, and so we picked up whatever was interesting there. And after visiting Masjid al-Fuqara, we thought maybe we would find Mawlana A.S. Desai there, but unfortunately he was not there. And we met some of the students, and after leaving Masjid al-Fuqara, Brother Naeem, he drives around and he takes us to the house of Mawlana A.S. Desai. I was not expecting this. And then he says, yeah, this is his house. We parked outside. There was a brother outside. And so I said, oh, okay, we're here. Okay, khair, no problem. Let's go and meet him. And so I asked the brother, I made salam. I said, you know what, we are here from Durban. We just had some time to spare, so visiting different masajid and organizations. And if Mawlana A.S. Desai is available, we'd like to just come in and give him salams and khair, inshallah. So the brother says, okay, just wait. He went in. He came back out and he says, no problem, you can come in. And so, alhamdulillah, myself, Brother Naeem Chunara of Port Elizabeth, youngster, and Muhammad Kader, who was with me from the IDP in Durban, we walk in. And what am I expecting? I'm expecting some stern, hard, harsh type of personality. And that's what we know as per what we read in the Majlis al-Ulama, he is famous or infamous for that. Jayid. But subhanallah, he was extremely welcoming, most jovial, very warm. He was not somebody with a stern presence. He was, as you would describe, a happy, jolly, soft uncle, subhanallah. In fact, I would even state that he is probably, in person, he is probably one of the most warm, welcoming, soft, jovial, jokey, tablighi, maulanas, diobandi, mashayikh I've ever met, subhanallah, Chayid. I've ever met in my life. And how ajib it is in contrast to what we read in Majlis al-Ulama. Ajib, subhanAllah. And so we walked into his office, library, books all around, his big desk there. And so he was seated behind the desk. He woke up, he welcomed us, walhamdulillah, made salam. Three of us, we sat down. And maybe for the first 2-3 minutes, I'm still, Sheikh, are you really Mawlana A.S. Desai? Maybe he's still to come. Are you really Mawlana A.S. Desai? Yes, yes, I am the one. I'm the infamous one. I'm the one, Jayid. Subhanallah. He's 84 years old. He still has black hair on his head. Walhamdulillah. He seems quite healthy. Walhamdulillah. I even mentioned to him in the conversation. I say, Mashallah, Sheikh, you know, you seem very healthy. Walhamdulillah. I'm sure you're not taking any vaccines, etc. So he laughed at that. He's fair in complexion. He has a full white beard. The image that came to my mind, seeing him sitting there at the desk with all the books around, etc., was a famous image of Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. So Sheikh Al-Albani, there's this famous image, he's sitting there, he's got all these books and busy writing and all of this here. And that's the image that came to my mind. I didn't mention it to him at the time, but on my second visit on Tuesday the 13th, I did mention it to him. And more details coming up, inshallah. From amongst the things that we discussed in the first meeting, how he spends his average day. So he mentions that most of his day is in that office, in that library. He usually sleeps around 10, 11 o'clock, and he's up from around 2 a.m. on average. Subhanallah, Chayid. We asked him, like, through the years, from amongst the people that he met, who are some individuals that really stood out, that he really looked up to? So he mentions that one of them was Maulana Umarji. Maulana Umarji, originally from India, I think, but he was settled in Durban. And he mentions, like, Maulana Umarji was the first, like, alim that he had met, and he had come to Port Elizabeth. Maulana Umarji had visited Port Elizabeth, and he was involved in some da'wah efforts, etc. And so one individual that stands out that he looked up to was Maulana Umarji. And the second one was Maulana Masihullah. Masihullah of the Darul Uloom in Jalalabad. And we'll discuss more about that, inshallah. We spoke about his youth in Port Elizabeth, about when Maulana Umarji had visited and the effect that had on him. When he had finished his matric, his plan was to go and study in the United States, study law in the United States, right? But it so happened that certain events took place, and then he decided, you know what, let me go and study a little bit of deen, at least get the basics. And so he had gone to India without proper planning, where exactly I'm going to go, what am I going to do, money, etc. And so these things were not really planned properly. He ends up in Delhi, as he mentioned, and then he was directed to, like, a certain madrasa. He was there, he mentioned the story, at the madrasa. He asked, you know, I want to stay here, I want to learn Quran here, but, like, the principal, he was like, but what about the matter of food? So he says, what about all the other students who are studying here? Where do they get food from? He says, well, the mess, the canteen, you know, we provide for them, etc. So he says, well, I will eat where they eat. Wherever they eat, I will also eat. Now, obviously, this teacher is trying to talk, is thinking about, you know, the cost with regards to these matters. And Maulana A.S. mentions that, I'm thinking to myself, and I even mentioned to that teacher, that you seem to be more worried about my food than about teaching me. You know, you should be worried about teaching me and not worried about my food. Allah will provide the food. Wherever it is, just like how Allah provides for the other students, Allah will also provide for me. And so he mentions after some time, somebody at the madrasa, they recommended to him that, you know what, maybe you should go to Jalalabad. There's a very famous scholar there. There's a big alim there, Mawlana Masihullah. You should go and, you know, visit him. So he was like, no, I didn't come for that. I came to learn and I want to be here and I want to stay here and I want to learn. But they impressed upon him and so they convinced him eventually and he went. And here, when he met with Mawlana Masihullah and he was in his company and he was studying under him, etc., that's when he decided that, khalas, there's no America, there's no law, etc. What I'm going to do now is to study deen, alhamdulillah. Mashallah, we had this first conversation was around 30 minutes. It was a very respectful, frank conversation. So it was not a conversation of mashallah Sheikh, you know, you are such and such and you are a big scholar and you are the alim and you are the best of the best and you know, you are standing up for the haq. No, it was a frank discussion. It was without nifaq, without hypocrisy, inshallah. He is double my age. I'm like 40 and he's like 84 years of age, subhanallah. And so one must obviously respect him. At the end of the day, Allah has taken work from him. We disagree. And I mentioned to him that we disagree with you, Sheikh, on a million matters. But subhanAllah, you were in jail in Bangladesh and you've sacrificed, etc. You set up many maktab, madrasas, etc. And so I didn't lie. Myself and brother Muhammad and Naeem were there. Didn't lie or was not fake. Was authentic, inshallah. Mentioned to him that we run something. We're part of something called the Imam Development Program. And we have this hike planned. I mentioned that I studied in Medina. He asked how many years. I mentioned 6 years. I even said to him, I said, Sheikh, you know what? At the moment, the Muslim Ummah is so divided and here within South Africa, there's so much of conflict and friction, etc. And even within the ranks of the Diobandi, Tablighis, there's so much of ikhtilaf. Not on the level of the ordinary layman, but on the level of the ulama. And I said to him, and many would say that you Mawlana, you are the source of a lot of this division. So how do you sleep at night? What do you say about this? As I mentioned, it was a frank conversation, respectful conversation. But alhamdulillah, I think throughout the entire conversation, he had a smile on his face, alhamdulillah. And so he says, it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. The conflict and the division, according to him, is only going to get worse. He says that somebody has to speak the truth. And he mentions the hadith that there will be one, لا يزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق. They will always continue to be a party of this ummah upon the truth, etc. And so he believes that he is speaking the truth. And this is the duty which is upon him. At the end of the day, that's what he believes. He believes that this is the duty and the responsibility that he has to speak what he believes to be the truth. Right? We spoke about the maktab system and the importance of the maktab system, that unfortunately in some countries, especially like Muslim countries, where the people, they relegate the duty of teaching kids and all of this here to the government. But the government falls short. And so you have kids who are like teenagers now. They're in their 20s. They don't even know the surahs of the Noble Quran. They don't know the five pillars of Islam, etc., etc. Allahumma musta'an. So we discussed the maktab system and the importance of the maktab system. We spoke about his time in jail in Bangladesh. We mentioned to him many times that, Sheikh, are you really Mawlana A.S. Desai? The person we are seeing in front of us here and speaking to us and interacting with us, is this the same person who writes whatever is written there in the majlis and the harshness, etc.? So it is him. I said, you know, where's that dictionary? People say that you have next to you a very fancy dictionary, you know, with all of the big words. So he laughed at that. He mentions that quite a few people have said that in person, and what they read are completely different. In my second meeting with him, I even asked, Sheikh, are you sure you're not maybe bipolar? Are you sure you're not bipolar? There's like complete opposites. It's like fire and ice, subhanAllah. He mentions that even like some of the mashayikh from the MJC, when they had visited, they were also taken aback. They were like, you know, they were expecting somebody completely different. But who they found was very different from what they find in the Majlis newspaper. We asked him for some advice. And so I said, please, if you can give us three pieces of advice. So he said, number one, don't work with any organization, don't work for any organization. He says, he is a one-man band, and his masjid, there's no committee. That's the condition. There's no committee at Masjid Al-Fuqara. He works from behind. The youngsters are in the front, etc. But if they go out of hand, then he corrects them. So he says that committees and organizations, this is the source of conflict and problems and issues. This is his advice. Whether we agree, disagree is a separate subject. I'm mentioning here what exactly transpired. Number two, he mentions that look with the eye of Basira. You know, look beyond what you see at surface level. He says, like Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, somebody had mentioned, okay, you say that, you know, we should take lesson from everything. What lesson can I take from the swine, from the pig? So Imam Abu Hanifa supposedly then responded, well, I learned from the pig that one should start the day early. Don't you see that the pig wakes up early and he goes to the area where the people in the old days, when they wake up in the morning and they have their motions, and then the filth piles up and they put it in a certain area. So the pig goes there early in the morning to get the fresh feces. And so at least learn from the pig that you are somebody who rises early, the determination and the dedication of the swine. Something you can take as a lesson from that. So he says, you people are going on this hike now. So make sure that whenever you look, whatever the creation of Allah, etc., then benefit from that and look with the eye of Basira. So that was number two. He says, like even from the non-Muslim, etc., you know, we can benefit and we can learn. Number three, he says that lower the gaze and restrain the tongue, because this has great effect on a person in terms of sin and also in terms of their spirituality. So those were the three pieces of advice. And then he added a few more before we left. He says that number four, always be willing to retract and acknowledge one's mistakes. Because if you're not willing to do that, then you did it for the sake of shaitan, you did it for the sake of your nafs. And so you must be willing, if you are proven to be wrong, that you must retract and you must acknowledge your mistakes. And number five, before we had left, he mentions that, you know, always be between hope and fear. That don't, I'm Mawlana, I'm Sheikh, I'm this, I'm that, etc. Then khalas, I've got like my guarantee of Jannah. No, no, no. He says that there were people who were pious and righteous, etc., but they ended up on the wrong track. They ended up somewhere else. Allah musta'an. And so always be between hope in Allah and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was our first meeting, walhamdulillah. Some lessons that I extracted from this first meeting, that number one, he was extremely approachable. Yes, what is written in the newspaper, something else. But when we were at his house there, he was extremely approachable. The image I had in my mind of him, I think, subhanAllah, I would say that probably from my interactions with our Mawlanas and Mashayikh, etc., especially the Tablighi, Diobandi, those who come from that tradition, I think it was Mawlana A.S. Desai and Mawlana Abdul Khaliq Ali. In both the meetings with the Mawlana A.S. Desai, he had a smile on his face and he was warm and he was welcoming. And the same of the current UKSA president, Mawlana Abdul Khaliq Ali. I think most can testify to that. When you meet with him, he's got a smile on his face, he's very welcoming, he holds your hand until, you know, you pull your hand away, etc. MashaAllah, walhamdulillah. And that's how the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. And in my second meeting with Mawlana A.S., we discussed more on this topic, and I'll mention that soon, inshallah. So approachability. Number two, he was, you know, so jovial. He had a warm presence. First time in my life I met with him. But wallahi, I felt extremely comfortable sitting and talking with him and joking, and could have mentioned anything. Think about how that sahabi came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to commit zina. Think about that. I mean, how approachable the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. The presence of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this youngster felt comfortable enough to come and ask for a license to go and commit zina. That was the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam harsh and, you know, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were hard and harsh and stern, people will flee from you. Right? And so he was extremely approachable, he was jovial, he had a very warm presence. his advices. I mean, advices, mashallah. The first one, I would disagree with that advice, Jayid. And I did mention to him, Sheikh, you know, we would disagree with you on a million things, but we will still respect you at the end of the day. Madhab and maslak and mashrab and sect and group and all of this aside, at the end of the day, and I did mention, you know, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah still bonds us. And that bond there is stronger than all of those other matters that might divide us. So his advices were in their place, except the first one, that don't work with any organization. And when one is part of an organization where there's conflict and issues and problems, one can at times resonate with this type of advice. But on an ummah level, I think we require more coming together and working together and each one helping one another. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. At the end, we made dua and we said that may Allah guide us to whatever is pleasing to Him. May Allah guide us all, myself and him and everybody who was there, the other two brothers in the first meeting. May Allah guide us all to what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ended off, we made salam, we hugged. I noticed that his garment was a very simple garment, simple kurta. There were even holes in that garment. I mean, his masjid is Masjid al-Fuqara. Masjid al-Fuqara means the masjid of the poor. Masjid of the poor. I even kissed him on his forehead. Jayid, I gave him a kiss on his forehead. I said, you know, I kissed him on his forehead. Why? Because the man is 84 years old. Allah has taken work from him. Does that now mean that he is completely on haqq and whatever he says in the majlis is correct? And the vile, vulgar, rude, harsh language that is employed many a times, that all of that is correct? And the dissing of ulama and people and organizations and all of this here, that all of that is right? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That doesn't change. That doesn't change. Remember, our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if there's a sect, if there's a group that he spoke about at length, numerous authentic ahadith about them, it's the Khawarij. You don't find authentic ahadith and the number like you find about the Khawarij. Why? Because we are human beings. We are taken away by the apparent. We get washed away and taken away by the apparent. Some others might visit Maulana A.S. Desai. And wow, subhanAllah. You know, I disagree with what he might have said in the majlis. But look at this man. Look at the simplicity, etc. And so this means that he is on the haqq. And whatever he says is correct. And all of those other ulama, they are incorrect. This is the problem, brother. This is the problem. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I'm not saying that Mawlana A.S. is from the Khawarij. No, I'm just saying that we should respect him. We should appreciate, etc. like we did, insha'Allah. But it doesn't mean now that, oh, now khalas, whatever he says is haqq. Absolutely not. Your Nabi, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said with regards to the Khawarij that the Sahaba, you will look at the Salah of the Khawarij and you look down upon your Salah. It's nothing compared to this. You will look to their Salah and their Ibadah and their worship and standing up at night and recitation of the Noble Quran, etc. And what they're doing compared to what you're doing, it's like miles apart. They're on another level. But they are incorrect. They are incorrect. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they are the dogs of Jahannam. Dogs of Jahannam. And then was it not one of the Khawarij who eventually came to assassinate and did assassinate Ali radiallahu ta'ala an? And was it not that same Kharijite who said that, you know what, when it comes to executing me, leave my tongue because I always want to be in the dhikr of Allah. And he's the one who killed Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. And so the lesson there is that we must not be carried away by what we see apparently, the zahir, etc. Jayid, because that could be very, very deceiving. And people are deceived by the religious overtones. Some people fell prey to ISIS. Oh, they're talking about the caliphate and this and that. They're the ones standing up. They're the ones, look at their videos. They're the ones walking the walk. Everybody else is just talking. But in reality, they were mistaken. They were mistaken. And so we must always be careful with regards to getting carried away by a person's appearance. And I think Maulana A.S. himself, he mentioned that there were people, we must never be satisfied with our current hal. We don't know what will happen in the future, etc., etc. So these were some of the lessons that we extracted from that first visit. Walhamdulillah. The next day we left early for the 6-day hike. Walhamdulillah, the brothers came from all over. And mashallah, it was an excellent 6 days of hiking across the Tsitsikamma. Beautiful, beautiful, extremely beautiful, walhamdulillah. On a scale, I think plus minus, one would say that it was like 6 or 7 out of 10 in terms of difficulty. As for beauty, 10 out of 10, walhamdulillah. We returned back to Port Elizabeth on Tuesday, and we visited the Madrasa Ibn Abbas for Hifz of Quran, and there's also a school there. MashaAllah, very nice youngsters, bright, and they are all studying there. Well, alhamdulillah, so they're doing school, and they start, I think, early in the morning, I think 7 o'clock until 6 p.m. It's a full day program, well, alhamdulillah. We had like a small quiz, we asked them a few questions, we gave some prize money, well, alhamdulillah, was very nice interacting with them. And just before that visit, we were at near Masjid al-Fuqara. And I said to the brother, Mawlana Riyad Jappi, you know what, do you know Mawlana AS's house? You know, if we could meet with him one more time, it would be good. Why? Because one of the pieces of advice he had given was that always be ready to retract and take back your statement and correct yourself if proven wrong. And at the time, I did not think about it, subhanAllah, but like a day later, I thought, whoa, I remember a few years ago, we at the IDP, we invited this Sheikh Muhammad bin Ibrahim Al-Luhaydan from Riyadh. He's a Qari and he's also a Qadi in the court. And during that visit, there were a lot of anonymous WhatsApp messages going around to avoid his program. He was just at the masjid reading Quran, but stay away, and this masjid cancelled, and all of this nonsense. And the Majlis also wrote about it. And two things that I remember, they mentioned that he is going around collecting money at the different masajid. And number two, something to do with the Libyan revolution and breaking down of some grave, something, etc., etc. And so I said, you know what? This was completely wrong. And he never did that. He never said that. He never collected any money or anything like that. Whereas the reality is, after our trip in Durban, Johannesburg, Cape Town, they asked me, how much did the whole thing cost? I mentioned to them 20,000-30,000 rands. And so they said, that's all? That's all? I said, yeah. I said, well, alhamdulillah, we got good prices. And so they gave me the money and they covered all of the expenses. So how much worse it is if there's a false accusation that they were collecting money at the masajid when in reality it is that they covered the expense of everything. Subhanallah. They paid, didn't take any money. And so I thought, whoa, you know, I didn't remember this. If possible, you know, it would be good to go back. And Mawlana AS had mentioned this as one of his pieces of advice, so I should bring it to his attention. And so, alhamdulillah, we went there, and I went to the door and knocked a few times, and it was locked, but alhamdulillah, after a few minutes, I think it was his grandson who opened there, and I said, you know what, we were here a few days ago, 5 days ago, we met with Mawlana, I'd just like to meet with him a few minutes, if possible. And so the youngster came back, and he says, no problem, you know, you can come in. And so, alhamdulillah, met with Mawlana again, warm, smiling, jovial, mashallah, extremely approachable and welcoming, alhamdulillah. He was again in his office, he was printing some emails, and in this conversation, we discussed, like he mentions, he does not have a cell phone. He does not even have a landline. He just has an email and he communicates via that. Jayid, I mentioned to him, subhanAllah, you know, that reminds me of the image I had in my mind when I met you, Sheikh Al-Albani. I said, when I saw you sitting with all the books and all of this here, that's the image that went through my mind. You know, you reminded me of like that picture. So I mentioned that to him. And I mentioned, you know what, there's a small story of Sheikh Al-Albani. One of his students had visited him after many years. And he welcomed him. Asalaamu Alaikum. The student sat down. This is like a student, big Sheikh. But the Sheikh on his desk is busy writing. I said, you know, and after some time, then the student is sitting there like uncomfortable. The Sheikh is not interacting with him, not talking. The man came from so far, subhanAllah, came from another country. And this is his Sheikh and stuff like this. And then the guy said, you know what, Sheikh, Jazakallah khair, you know, Allah bless you. And, you know, I'll be on my way. And so then the Sheikh says to him, my son, it seems that, you know, you probably wanted me to talk to you and welcome you and this and that to a higher level. You know, you expected more. But my son, if every person who walks in the door here, if I had to sit with them 15, 10, 20 minutes, where will I have the time to complete what I need to complete? Jayid, I said, obviously, Sheikh Mawlana, yes, you were not like that. Well, alhamdulillah, you were extremely welcoming. Well, alhamdulillah, but just that story had come to my mind. And he mentions, yes, because if he gave his phone number, then the whole day would go answering the phone and busy with this person and that person and phone calls and all of this. So rather it'd be like this. Whoever needs to communicate with him can communicate via email. Well, alhamdulillah. So I mentioned, Sheikh, you know, I was really taken aback by the first visit to you. And, you know, I'm still like amazed and shocked. Is it really Maulana A.S. Desai? I mentioned to him that, you know, you gave us these pieces of advice, the three we asked for. Then you added the fourth one, which is always be willing to retract and take back your statement if proven incorrect. So I said, you know what, when we were driving away, I thought, subhanAllah, you know, this mas'ala of Sheikh Luhaydan. And on your website, this article was there. I remember I read it. I can probably find it again. So I mentioned to him, you know what, Sheikh, the reality is it was not even a shade of grey. Completely, completely false. They paid for all the expenses. And then for somebody to say that they were going around collecting money is completely wrong. Completely wrong. And I also mentioned, as for something to do with Libya, there was some other Luhaydan, not to do with this Sheikh here. Jayid. So he accepted that. He said, you know what, maybe send the article and write down these comments and send it to him, inshallah. So that was the main reason that we had gone. But alhamdulillah, this turned out to be another plus minus, I think, maybe 20 to 30 minute conversation. Again, we spoke about the maktabs and the importance of the maktab system, like in Malawi and other places, that you would find the grandfather, he went to maybe a Christian school. When he left there, he was left with 50% Islam. His children went to the same school, 25% Islam. His grandkids went there, they left with 5% Islam. And so people gradually drifted away from Islam. It was not like the man woke up one day and says, I don't want to be Muslim, or he read something. No, no, no. Just gradually drifted away from Islam. You have Barack Hussein Obama. Grandparents were Muslim. Great-grandparents were Muslim. But eventually they drifted away. Current Ethiopian President Ahmed something. Parents were Muslim. But, you know, they've changed. Allahumma musta'in. Like that, you have many. Maybe in strong centers like maybe Durban, Johannesburg, Cape Town. Even if the kid goes to a Christian school because of whatever reason, we've got a strong Islamic Muslim infrastructure which balances out matters. So the kid then goes to a madrasa, he's got Jumu'ah, he's got masjid, he's got all of this here, which balances out the negativity that one might find in the Christian school, which is not there in those villages. It's not there. And so I mentioned to him that Siddiq Mia, rahimahullah, he passed away during COVID. Very, very rich and influential and powerful, inshallah. Politician of Malawi. Subhanallah, he mentions that the Muslim population of Malawi used to be 50%. Now you go onto Google, what does it say? Plus minus 17 to 23%. That means we've lost 50% of the Malawian Muslim population. 50% lost in the last like 40 years. Last 40 years, subhanAllah. Siddiq Mia says that we were 50% Muslims 40 years ago. And now 17. What happened? Many of them just drifted out of Islam. Allahumma musta'an. So we spoke about the maktab system, its importance, about the ummah requiring people to work. I mentioned to him that, you know, when I saw you with the image of Sheikh Al-Albani, I spoke to him a little bit about the Imam Development Program. I said, don't you feel that maybe, you know, decrease the harshness and the severity and the language, decrease it a little bit. You know, fasik, fajir, okay, you know, mashil hal. But the matter of takfir, where this person is not a Muslim, so there he says, you know what, I am careful about that. That one day, I am careful, I am wary with regards to, I might say that this is kufr, that is kufr, etc. But calling the person a kafir, I do take cognizant of that matter there. I said, you know what, when I mentioned to some people that I visited you, they were like, Bilal, you are asking to be in the next edition. That's what you are asking for. You know, Mawlana is going to write about you. He said, no, no, no. He's smiling, laughing. I said, wallah, you know, I really, this is probably the last time I will meet you in your life. I said, you are now 84. Don't you think also that there's so much of pressing issues that the ummah needs? And you probably have the ability to do some of that. You know, because of your influence and your reputation, you could direct people. He says, I'm already, you know, like one leg in the qabr already. I said, but still, you know, maybe think. I'm just rambling here. I said, some things, I'm just rambling. But I said, for example, when we on this hike, we had the imam from Cape Town and we had this youngster, Abdul Hadi. Abdul Hadi, his father left the family, right? So the mother, she's got like another husband now. But this youngster, mashallah, is memorizing Quran and he's a strong youngster, mashallah. Allah, it requires people to give some focus and attention to somebody like this here, and inshallah they can flourish. When I mentioned maybe you should decrease, he says, you know, once I had come to Durban and I didn't announce, but somebody got the message. I landed at Durban airport, there were like 100 people there. So he says, you know, the verse of the noble Quran, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, if you were harsh and severe and staunch, etc., people will flee from you. He says, but you know, all these people, I didn't ask them, I didn't call them, but people are attracted to the truth. So that's what he says, people are attracted to the truth. He also talked about so much of money being wasted on the various madrasa jalsas and the Darul Ulum jalsas. He says that money could be used in assisting the Ummah in the different places, different areas, arenas. We spoke about Pakistan and Bangladesh and how in some places people are leaving Islam. You know, we're not talking about making things better, talking about people leaving Islam. So I said, okay, I agree with you. I agree with you. Maybe sometimes when somebody is looking at matters on a ummah level, he can see suffering and he can see these things. So it hurts him. And he is bothered by somebody who spent 20,000 on a jalsa. But that person who spent 20,000 on the jalsa, he doesn't have his eye on the ummah. He's just looking at, you know, we had a hafiz here. What a lovely thing. Let's spend some money on a beautiful jalsa. If he had his eye on the ummah, then he wouldn't spend that money. So each one is probably like speaking a different language. The one person looking on the ummah level, and the other guy looking on the local level, they just need to connect. He says, no, they know that it's a waste, etc., etc. He mentions that, you know, it's very difficult finding good people, even the different makatib and the maktabs in different places. Many a times people mess around and they play around and they don't fulfill the amana that they have been given. Allahumma musta'an. So alhamdulillah, this is a short overview of our two meetings with Maulana A.S. Desai. We then made salam. I said to him, Sheikh, you know, I don't think I will ever see you again. I don't think I will ever meet you again. As we mentioned in the previous majlis, let us make the same dua that, oh Allah, you guide us to whatever is pleasing to you. Made salam with him, and I said, please, you also, please make dua for us. Please make dua for us. He also mentions that, you know, nobody should feel that they are above scrutiny or think that he's got an automatic entry into Jannah or anything like that. We all are sinners. We all have our hidden flaws, etc., etc. So I say it was extremely interesting. It was an amazing meeting. Why amazing? In my mind, amazing. To me, amazing. Why? Because what I expected was completely different from the person that I met, subhanAllah. Does it now mean that everything that Maulana A.S. Desai writes about and says, etc., is complete haq? Absolutely not. I do not believe that. I believe, as we mentioned to him, that we differ with so many things with you, Sheikh, but we will still respect you. The bond of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is still there between both of us, walhamdulillah. We will respect the man due to his age. We will respect the efforts that the man has put in and the years that he sacrificed and his white beard, etc. We will respect him for that. Will we respect the writings and the vulgar language and the harshness, etc.? No, that is not something that we will respect. That is not something that we agree with. That is something that we believe that he will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And at the end, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all, myself, Maulana A.S. Desai, and the one listening to this, to what is pleasing to Allah. We ask Allah to guide us to what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hayyakumullah. And before ending, jazakumullah khairan to Sheikh Muhammad Arifuddin, Maulana Salman, Brother Naeem, for their assistance. And they also joined us for the hike, walhamdulillah. Maulana Adam from Cape Town, Maulana Tawfiq Ali from Cape Town, the students that they had with them, Brother Hashim, Brother Khalid, mashallah, the hiking guides, Brother Uthman, our team man, walhamdulillah. Brother Shahid Majid, mashallah, strong 50-year-old brother, walhamdulillah. Dr. Ibrahim, the dentist, mashallah. Brother Mayet, Abdul Hadi, that youngster, Allah keep you strong. And the rest of them, it was fantastic being with you people. This ukhuwa and the brotherhood that we had during the hike, walhamdulillah. At the end, this was recorded because many of you asked what exactly transpired, the discussions, etc. I'm thinking now, subhanallah, maybe I should have explicitly asked Maulana that can I mention to others our discussion. But I did mention to him that, you know, after our initial discussion, I did speak to a few people and I told them this and I told them that and they said this and they said that, etc. So technically, that's impossible. implicit permission from his side, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. I hope that I've given a true reflection of our discussions without any addition, subtraction, without any lies or half-truths. I did not disparage Mawlana A.S. Desai at the end. The summary is that what I expected and who I expected to meet was completely different from the personality, the person that we met, walhamdulillah, was pleasantly surprised. And at the end, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite ourselves, Mawlana A.S. Desai, those who are listening to this, and the rest of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the company of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. Hayyakum Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.